Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
We're going to continue our series on redemptive revelation. Amen. And so maybe your first time, or it's been a while since you've been here, since we've talked about redemptive revelation, even though this whole series has been all the way back in January of this year. Amen. Almost a whole year on this topic. Of course, we've taken a few breaks in between, but this is an important topic. And to define what redemptive revelation is, we can see, slide 23, please. Redemptive revelation is what God has said He has done through Jesus Christ to provide victory for all of mankind over Satan and his works. Now, today, as we're started, the reason why many people never open this book, because to them it is foreign. To them it's a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts, when really from Genesis to Revelation, from the first book to the ending, amen, it's really all about the great plan of redemption and the great extravagant measures and the love that God went about through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection to provide victory for all of mankind over Satan and his works. When we understand this, then we fall in love with this word. We understand it's not God trying to keep us from something, is God trying to reveal to us what He's already done so we can walk in this great victory that He's provided for us. This whole series is really a revelation from God's Word of these very things. So it's a revelation of redemption and what this means to us as God's children. And so I've said this from the very beginning of the series, when as long as we've been doing this, I want us to, when we hear the word redemption, redeem, or redemptive, to think one thing, and that is what? Victory. Because it is a biblical term. Many times people just hear some religious term, but the word redeem means to purchase or to buy back, really. And that's exactly what Christ did through His death, burial, and resurrection. Through His shed blood, what He did for us was to purchase our redemption and our freedom, and actually provide a great victory for us. Our victory over the enemy. Amen. And so I'm going to give you some examples today of redemption. And we all have this, or we all are this if we're children of God, or this is what I have or I am. Amen. And they are examples that of what it means to be redeemed. Amen. So we're not going to put these scriptures up, but I'm going to refer to them. You write them down. I'll try to go slow enough. I've been accused of going fast quite often. Amen. So I'll try to take my time a little bit today and make sure that you pick these things up. And so, number one, because of redemption, I have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, "He that has the Son of God has eternal life. He that has not the Son of God does not have eternal life." You know, whether we have salvation or not, salvation should be something that we don't question. If you question whether you're saved or not, you're not. Salvation is a no-so. He that has the Son has eternal life, and he that has not the Son of God has not eternal life. So in other words, has there ever been a time that you actually invited Jesus to be, repented of your sins, and asked Him to be the Lord of your life? Then if you have, then you have the gift of eternal life, all because of redemption. That's what Christ came to provide for us. Secondly, I am a child of God. See, this is the things I'm getting ready to talk about. These things that I'm talking about today is really all the language of redemption. See, we got to learn to talk God's language. Amen. And God responds to heaven's language. Amen. And so we have to understand what heaven is saying about this and then personalizing these things, because that's when it becomes real in our life. So not only do I have eternal life, but I am a child of God. I am a son or daughter of God. In John chapter 1 verse 12, it tells us as many as received Jesus Christ, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. I am also a new creature in Christ. Now when I say this, I'm personalizing this in hopes that you understand this is what you are doing daily. You should wake up daily and say, I have eternal life. I am a child of God. I am a new creature in Christ. I'm not going to be when I get to heaven. I am now. Matter of fact, if you don't have this now, you won't have it when you're in heaven. This is how we get to heaven. Amen. And it's all because of redemption that I am and you are a new creature in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. One translation says, the old life is gone. Behold, a new life has begun. I am also the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. Amen. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ. Did you know that you didn't earn righteousness? It's a gift. And by receiving Christ, you receive the gift of righteousness. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it calls it a gift. It's something that God gives. It's by his grace. It's something we receive through our faith when we receive Jesus Christ. And because I have received the gift of righteousness, I can now live righteously. Amen. See, you can't be something you're not. You are righteous, therefore you can live righteously. But if you never know that you're righteous, if you don't know that you are, you won't live that way. The power to live righteously is coming from the power of knowing that you have been made righteous, new on the inside. You have the same identical life that Christ has, amen, and righteousness before the Father as Jesus Christ has. I also am a partaker of the divine nature. That word partaker just means I'm a sharer of God's divine nature. We find that in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. All of this is because of God's great plan of redemption. That means that I have the same identical life that Christ has. Amen. The same identical life that Jesus Christ has. Amen. And I also know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. 1 John chapter 4 verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. See, I'm not trying to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. I'm just learning to walk in the victory that Christ already provided for me, or won for me. Amen. That's good news. See, this is why in many of the messages I focused around this part of us understanding, and we must as believers view Satan as a defeated foe, not a superior pro. Amen. He is a defeated foe, and I walk in the victory that Christ already won for me over Satan and his works. I am also, because of redemption, more than a conqueror. Everybody say more than. And many times we read that in Romans chapter 8, verse 37 says, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Before it states that, it talks about all these troubles and all these pearls that we could go through in life. But Paul said, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, no, in all these things, we're still more than conquerors through him that loved us. Many times they become empty words, or they just become something we repeat or something that we've heard. I want to dig down a little bit deeper so that we unveil what this means. The word more than means something that superabounds. If the Bible tells us there in Romans chapter 5, where sin abounded, grace superabounds. By the time we get to Romans chapter 8, verse 37, Paul is saying, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reminding us again that we're more than conquerors. The word more than in the Greek compiles this great idea of things like this. More more than means first rate, first class, top notch, over, above, beyond, higher than, superior to, unmatched, unequal, unrivaled by any person or anything. That's what it means. Somebody should say amen in here today. Now, I know you could write that down. I'm not going to slow down too much for you to write it down, but you can listen to it. So let me just say it one more time again. It actually means, it implies first rate, first class, top notch, over, above, beyond, higher than, superior to, unmatched, unequal, unrivaled by any person or by anything. Praise God. Notice he said that's what the word more than means. Woo. But he also added to it conqueror, more than a conqueror. Not just you are a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror. The word conqueror means an overcomer, a champion, a victor, a master. Unfortunately, most of the church world sees themselves as challengers, not champions. But you are the champion, and Satan has come to challenge your belief in God. But I'm letting you know that God calls you a conqueror, an overcomer, a champion, a victor, and a master. All through him who loved us, all because of redemption. Maybe Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 says it best. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 it says, and you are complete in him. That's talking about Jesus Christ. You're complete in him, which is head over all principality and power. Listen, if you're complete in him, in Christ, you don't need somebody or something else to complete you. You have been completed in him. Too many people, listen, we need one another, but you don't need someone else or something else to complete you. Most of us think that if we get this other toy or get this something else, this is going to complete us. But you're still going to come fall short, because there's only one thing, one person that's going to complete you, and that's Jesus Christ. And the good news is you're complete in him because redemption has provided it. I love what the Living Bible actually says of this verse. Amen. Praise God. So you have everything when you have Christ. Oh, I wish we get that. So you have everything when you have Christ. Amen. Well, Pastor Chris, I'm looking for a spouse. So you have everything when you have Christ. Pastor Chris, I'm looking for some money. So you have everything when you have Christ. Oh, Pastor Chris, I'm looking for my healing. So you have everything when you have Christ. Because in Christ, it's all those things. But you got to put him first. And from that place, you can get everything. So you have everything when you have Christ. And you're filled with God through your union with Christ. For he is the highest ruler and with authority over every other power. Can I get an amen? Remember, all of these things that we just talked about briefly there, that you are, is because of redemption, all won and given by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to turn with me today to John chapter 1 and verse 12 as we go into the message this morning. I mean, I realize we're already in the message, but where we want to go today. In John chapter 1 verse 12, I've already quoted it concerning us become sons and daughters of God. But it says, but as many as received him, talking about Jesus Christ, so you receive him by making him the Lord of your life. You invite him to come into your heart. You actually repent of your sins and you personally invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. I'm impressed by the Spirit of God to go back to this where it says many received him. We understand that word receive, but there's a translation that years ago I read this, because one of the ways I studied the New Testament is I read it through in different translations. Amen. And so, a matter of fact, I just currently began rereading the New Testament. Amen. From a different translation. I just finished the Amplified again. Amen. And one of the amazing things of this verse years ago, I read it in another translation, and to me it didn't make any sense or as much sense as many as received him. How many of the words paint pictures? Green apple, blue car, big house, black dog. When I said all those things, if you understood what I said, it painted a picture. Okay? And so words paint picture. And the reason why this is so important is because many times I use different translations because of that very thing. Words paint picture. Received, we get an idea that we take something or receive something. In this case, Jesus Christ. That translation particular says as many as appropriated him. Appropriated Jesus Christ. And so to me, that didn't make as much sense until I looked up the word appropriate, and it said it makes more sense because it actually says to personally take to oneself. So appropriating Jesus Christ means you have to personally make him your Lord and Savior. You personally receive him and make him Lord. As many as received him, to him he gave power, if I say power, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, what I want to do is look at this, because this word power here, he gave power. Say, he gave power. He gave us power to become the sons of God. Now, this is where we want to focus at today, is this word here, because actually, you may have a different translation in your lap that brings this out. It's the word, the Greek word, exousia, which predominantly is translated through the New Testament as the word authority, and would rightly and more rightly be translated authority. It does mean power, I'll explain it, but it more rightly be understood as authority. So let's read it like this. As many as received him, to him God gave the authority to become the sons of God. Sons of God mean you're a direct creation of God. Sons of God means you're a direct creation of God, because when you got born again, you became a direct creation of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Listen, the reason you had to become a new creature is because before you were a son of Adam. And in Adam all died, but in Christ all are made alive. So now, before you were a direct descendant of Adam, in Adam all men die spiritually. But in Christ, you become sons of God. Sons of God means you're a direct creation of God. Not of flesh, not of man, but of God. You've got God's life and nature on the inside. And now, because of that, you have authority. You have authority. If you receive Christ, you have authority. Become the sons of God. And this word authority, exousia, means permission, right, or authority. It combines the ideas of the two ideas of legal right and legal might to become something. The legal right and the legal might. How many know that God did everything legally? When he won redemption, the devil's never going to go back and say, you cheated. That, in other words, what God did, he went to great extremes to legally redeem us so that Satan could not come back and accuse God of being a sheep thief. Because we were sold under Satan's authority in the garden when Adam sinned. That's Romans chapter 7, verse 14. We are like a transfer of property. When Adam and Eve sinned, that death fell upon all man. And all mankind was a transference of property under Satan's authority. This is why Jesus came, so he could redeem mankind and win back the right, the permission and the authority now to become sons of God, come out of the kingdom of darkness and translate into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and whom we have a redemption, even the remission of sins. It means this word exousia not only means the legal right and legal might, but it means having the right to exercise power. The right to exercise a power. So this is what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about authority. If you're taking notes, you could call today's message Understanding Our Authority. Amen. Understanding our authority, please understand when I say that is because of who we are in Christ. It's when I say understanding authority, everything I'm talking about is because we're in Christ. Not because you're in Chris, not because you're in Doug, not because you're in Sally, because you're in Christ. What it means to be in Christ means that we have an authority, and we must understand what that actually is and what that means. So what in talking about understanding authority, I want to talk about three things. What, and I hope I get to all three, but I may not. So that's all right. I'm coming back next week. I hope you are. Amen. It looks good to see filled chairs in here today. Amen. Amen. Continue to invest and invite and show up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So what it is, so in other words, we're going to talk about three things about authority. What it is, what real authority is. Number two, we're going to talk about what it means for us. And then number three, what are the limits of its use in our lives? If there are any, what are the limits of the use of it in our lives? We need to know it. So what I want to do is I want to take a moment and go back to authority and remind us of what we said, because I have been accused of talking fast, so it gives you another opportunity to write the definition down. Authority, in this case, the word exousia, actually it means the league combines the two ideas of legal right and legal might. The legal right and the legal might. Amen. Praise God. It means having the right to exercise power. Actually, the best two-word definition of authority just means delegated power. Delegated power. When God gave Adam authority over the earth, it was unlimited authority to begin with. It was, and that meant when he had authority over the earth, that delegated power, that it was the ability to represent another or to act in their behalf. So, in other words, God gave him the ability to act on God's behalf. So today, it's the same thing. Delegated power is actually the ability to represent another or to act in their behalf, God himself. So in other words, you could say like this, authority is... That's not where I want to be. Y'all put that back down. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Authority is, don't forget about what you saw there. That'll come later. Praise the Lord. Authority is, that'll come later. Praise God when I call for it. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. Authority is the permission or right to exercise power on behalf of another, in this case, Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Authority is delegated power. It is the permission or right to exercise power on behalf of another, in this case, Jesus. Amen. The giver of our authority. That's pretty powerful. I said, that's pretty powerful. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. So I'm going to say it again. The permission or right to exercise power on behalf of another. In other words, we take Christ's place or his stead. That's what authority means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, we're asking God to do things he's asked us to do with his power. Authority means that God gave us the ability to do something with his power. Let me give you a great picture of this. They had that up, but now I can explain this in slide 48. Understanding authority. Understanding authority can be best understood by three points. Number one, power. What power is? Power is God's might or ability. Having to know, power is, in the case, God's might or ability. Number two, authority is delegated power. Authority is the legal right and legal might to use the power of God. Hallelujah. And then number three, responsibility. When you understand these three things, you understand authority the way it was intended. Number three, responsibility is the actual exercise of the power through the authority given us. So in other words, God's power is his might and ability. Authority is delegated power, and that's wonderful that we got it, but responsibility means that we are actually exercising God's power through the authority given to us. See, we got a responsibility to use the power, to use our authority, which releases the power of God. Authority is the exercise of our God-given power. So even though we understand God's power, his might, his ability, we understand what authority is, we have to understand we have a responsibility, and our responsibility is to exercise the authority or the power through the given authority given to us. Does that make sense? Because without all three, then they do not work. It's not enough to know that God has power and might. It's not enough to know what authority is and that God has given it to us. We actually have a responsibility to use what God has given, the power and the authority that He's given us. Can I get amen? So this is why this is so important. Authority given must be exercised. Exercise against the devil and his works. See, that's what you got to understand. Where we exercise our authority at is against the devil and his works. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Then, hallelujah. And so it's important that we understand that. And so, and it's our responsibility to do so, to exercise our authority, that is. So, what we have to understand, did you know that nowhere in the New Testament does it tell us that God will do something about the devil for us? Nowhere in the New Testament, I'm going to say it again because that's so foreign even to Christians. Shouldn't be a foreign to us. This is why we're teaching it. But whether it is or not, we need to be reminded of it or come to know it. Nowhere in the New Testament does it tell us that God will do something about the devil for us as His church. Nor does it tell us to pray and ask God to do something about the devil or the problems that He puts in our lives. Did you know that? But here's where a lot of people would say, well, I always ask God to do something about the devil. But when we understand this, we wasted a lot of time. Because God will not do something about the devil when He told you to do something about it. See, this is why we have to understand God's given us authority. It would be no different than this afternoon than they have a hold up, God forbid, I'm just giving you an example, hold up at Fastmart over there. Well, the deputy shows up because they got a 911 call being robbed. The deputy shows up in the car and he calls not only backup, but he calls for the sheriff and says, I'll wait until you get here. No, why are you waiting till the sheriff gets there? He's deputized you to act in his place in his stead. See, you don't wait, you go in and you take charge. Come on. But here's what we do, the same thing. We pray to God about the devil. We pray to God about our problems. We can pray and complain to God about what the devil's doing, ask God to do something about the devil. When God told us, you exercise authority over the devil. You speak to your mountain. You talk to your problem about how big your God is. But you tell your problem, you tell your mountain to get out. You bind Satan and you exercise authority over him. That's what we're called to do. Hallelujah. And so instead of us asking God to do something about the devil, it tells us, in other words, the Bible tells us, God tells us and commands us to do something about the devil and his works in our lives. This is why Jesus won back our authority. We must learn that unless we do something about the devil when it comes to our lives, everybody say, when it comes to my life. We must learn that when it comes to my life, I must do something with the devil, or nothing will be done. Or nothing will be done. And why is that so? Because upon Jesus' resurrection and before his ascension to the right hand of the Father, Jesus delegated authority to his church, his believers, and we could call this, or it is known today, is possibly the authority of the believer or the believer's authority. And so how we know we have authority is best seen. I'm just going to take you through five portions of scriptures. We'll see, this may be as far as we can get today. I'm hoping to get a little farther, but this may be as far as we can get today. Number one, how do we know we have authority? Number one, amen. Do we know what authority is? Delegated power, permission to write, exercise power on behalf of another, this case Jesus. We know it does us no good to ask God to do something about the devil, because we're finding that God gave us the authority to do something against the devil and his works. We find this from the scriptures in the New Testament, because upon Jesus raised again from the dead, he actually won that authority back. Amen. And before he ascended to heaven, amen, when he rose again from the dead, he stripped Satan of that authority. He rose again from the dead with the keys of death and hell, and then he delegated some of that authority to us. We find this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. Here's what it says: "And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Amen. So we see that before Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, he gave his disciples a command. He gave them authority here. And here's what we understand. I wish I had more time to talk about it. Maybe I will before we finish. But here's what we understand: that God exercises power through the church. God exercises his power through the church. It's called authority. The head cannot exercise any authority except through the body. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is why many times we're waiting for God to do something and nothing happens, when God says, you must do something. And those that know it and learn to use it and learn it right can win over it. It will not go. Let me tell you something, church. There's no such thing as unchallenged faith. There's no such thing as uncontested faith. And just because you lost one battle don't mean that you're going to lose every battle. There doesn't have to be, but there probably will be a few defeats in our lives where in learning process we miss it. That doesn't mean that God failed. That doesn't mean anything other than we don't know how to work the word in certain areas, and we're all growing in that. That's not a condemning statement. Let's just wake up and realize that God don't miss it, that we can. And we've all missed it somewhere, but God doesn't want us to keep on missing it. So let's learn and let's move forward. Let's not be like most Christians who never allow the Word of God to affect what they really believe. Now, that was a mouthful, and some of you got it. Let's not be like most Christians who never allow the Word of God to affect anything that they believe, when it should affect everything that we believe. As experiences should not dictate us what we believe. The Word of God should dictate what we believe. Hallelujah. Praise Allah. Praise God. So I'm going to say it again. The head cannot exercise any authority except through the body. Where's the head at the right hand of God in heaven? Where's his body at? Here. So God is going to exercise his authority through the body. God works through people. His people. He needs a body to exercise in this earth. Hope you understand that. Hope you understand this. Oh, God, help me to communicate it. But we also understand Satan works through people, his people. See, spirits need a body to exercise authority in the earth. This is why Satan works through people. Evil spirits need a body to possess or to influence in order to execute his works in this earth. God needs the same. The good news is God has it. It's called his church, the body of Christ. And it's through the head who's given the body the power. The head is there. The body is here. We're his hands, his feet, his voice. And we're to carry out the instructions of the head. And we exercise authority. The head exercises authority through the body in the earth, through the church. Number two, how we know we have authority. Mark 16:17 says, "In my name in Jesus' name. What does it mean? It says, notice it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Notice the very first sign that Jesus gives us, says that will follow the believer, is that he will cast out devils. In other words, we will exercise authority over the devil. That's the very first thing. Well, I don't know if I've ever, I don't know if I've even raised my voice to the devil. I really don't like to talk about him, Pastor Chris, because he might hear it. That's the sucker you want to hear it. You want to say no to him. You want to stop him in his tracks. You want to exercise your authority over him and not be afraid of him. Notice the very first sign that will follow them that believe, the believing ones, is in my name, they'll cast their devils. When it says in my name, in Jesus' name, it means as my representative. As the representative of one who has authority in the earth, you shall exercise power or authority over the devil. That means in Matthew, let me give you two verses. You can write this down in Matthew 16, 19 and in Matthew 18, 18. It says that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So what that means is the word bind means to stop. To bind or to stop, to not permit. Amen. To loose means to permit or allow. What we must understand was it comes to the devil in our lives now, what we allow, God has to allow. Because we're the ones in authority. Not God. We are. That does not take any way thing from God. God gave us his authority. Just like the sheriff, when the deputy calls and says, look stupid, go in and arrest the creep. Now, God may be a little kinder than that. But he's trying to wake us up and to say, wake up to what I've given you. And learn to exercise authority or to stop. Because when it comes to the devil in our own lives now, what we allow, God allows. Because we have the authority. What we stop, stops. Because we use our authority. What is allowed to continue will be allowed to continue. You can ask God to stop it all you want, but until you say stop in Jesus' name, it's going to continue. And then we wonder why. And you can't be shy, bashful. This is why I'm bold about it, because we need to be bold about it. And you say, well, I'm just a young teenager. I'm a senior citizen. I don't care who you are. I'm not trying to be mean. Wake up and smell the coffee. This is what you have and what God has given you. And you're not too young or too old. You're not so old that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You ain't an old dog. You are a child of God, made in the likeness and the image of God. You're not too young to do this. Come on, you're right. You are who God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. And you have what God says you have. How we know we have authority. Number three, James 4, 7 says, resist the devil. It says, submit yourself therefore to God. That we need to do that first. That means we do it God's way. Submit yourself to God means you're going to do it God's way. That means you're going to exercise your authority. It means you come under the rulership of God. You do things the way God says. You humble yourself. You do things God's way. And here's his way, resist the devil. He didn't tell you to ask him to do something about it. He said, you resist the devil. Matter of fact, in your Bible, over resist, you need to write in the word you in parentheses. It implies you resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will flee from you in Jesus' name. So resisting the devil, the word, it means you have to say no to him and his works. You have to say no to him and his works. What are his works, Pastor Chris? Evil spirits that come to torment our thoughts. And alive, Satan himself and all his goodies that he brings, like sin. You can say no to sin. Sin shouldn't have dominion over us. When's the last time you looked at sin and said, no, I'm doing that? You need to. Or if not, you're sinning. I can tell you that right now. Unless you resist it, you're doing it. That's why Jesus said, cut your hand off. He literally said, cut your hand off. It's better to enter in life with one hand than go to hell with both. In other words, if your hand causes your problem, cut off. But the thing that he's telling us is, listen, you got to let your body not be your master. You be the master of it. So sin, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, want, all these things are Satan's works that we have to resist. When we have all these things of lack that comes against us, we say, devil, no. We're tithers and givers, and the devourer's rebuked for my sake. And I say, no, you don't, devil, take your hands off my finances. See, you got to learn to do that. Well, Pastor Chris, would you say that again? I sure will. Praise the Lord. You're going to have to learn to say, no, you don't, devil. Take your hands off my finances. I am a tither and a giver, and I call you rebuke. Hey, in Jesus' name, take your hands off my finances. I am a tither and giver. God opens the windows of heaven. Pour it blessings that's not room enough to contain. Then speak the word of God over your life. Amen. If you don't, God can't. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, here's what we need to understand. Listen to this word resist for a moment. The word resist means to stand against the devil. You got to stand against him. Oh, he's too powerful for me. He is in yourself, but not in Christ, he ain't. Because you got to see yourself in Christ. This is why you have to put on Christ. This is why you have to see yourself in Christ. And he's not greater than the authority that Christ has given you. See, this is why I say we have to see him as a defeated foe because of what Christ has done. Or he's either going to be a defeated foe or a superior pro in our life. And most Christians, unfortunately, see him as a superior pro because they've made him up to be, and we celebrate things and we shouldn't. But things like Halloween and all the stuff and think it's innocent and the devil open. Come on, I could just keep on going. But we got to resist the devil. We play with things that are fire and Ouija boards and tarot cards and things that we may not know that harm us, but open the door that abominations to God. You say, well, Pastor Chris, I didn't know that. I know most Christians don't, but I'm telling you about it. But most people rather hold on to their pet peeves and say, we're just having a little fun, in the seance and all that kind of stuff. No, it's an abomination to God, and you don't know you're opening the door to the devil. You sow to resist him, not open the door to him. Understand what God calls evil and call it evil, and then resist it. So resist means, I'm not going to get no farther than this today, praise the Lord, but that's all right. Resist means to stand against. It means to actively oppose. Actively oppose. Well, Pastor Chris, could you tell me when I probably will not have to do any of this? Yeah, I'll tell you. When you die! When you're in heaven! Actively oppose means you're not concentrating on the devil. It just means that you have to realize that this opposition is going to be ongoing. As long as you live in this earth, Satan still, if you've been in these teachings, he still has a legal right here in this world system. Now, he does not have a legal right over you, but we have to actively oppose his works against us, or we lose by default, which is consent. Because if we say nothing and do nothing, then we have allowed him. Because the Bible tells us we have to resist him. Well, Pastor Chris, I get so tired of... I know, we all can sometimes get tired. But if we're lazy, we lose. Listen, anything worth having is worth fighting for. And your victory is worth fighting for. And if you get busy about it, you won't have to stand long, because once he finds out that you know what you're talking about, he won't hang around. Resist means to stand against. It means to actively oppose. It means to withstand. It means to offer strong resistance or opposition. That means you're going to have to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That means that you can't just be weak. That means you're going to have to feed on the Word of God. Because the scripture says in Proverbs, you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So what we have to do is make sure our inner man is fed on the Word of God so that daily we exercise strength from the inner man. How many of y'all go to the gym? How many worked out or did some type of exercise in the last 2 years? Woo, look at the hands. Oh, that looked good. Praise the Lord. Last 2 years. You're a fine physical specimen. Praise the Lord. Now, we all laugh at that. We all laugh at that. I did that to say a point. We all laugh at that, but what if we said the same thing about the Word and exercising ourselves unto godliness and spiritual exercise? See, physical, Timothy, the book of Timothy tells us, Paul told Timothy, bodily exercise, it profiteth a little, for a little while. It has some profit, and it has a profit in this life. He says, but godliness is profitable in this life, in the life to come. Amen. Let me just tell you this. If you don't exercise yourself unto godliness and have spiritual disciplines where you grow strong inwardly, you're probably going to get to heaven quicker. And not because you want it to. Not that heaven is a bad option, don't get me wrong. But you understand what I'm saying. Because the devil will try to eat our lunch. This is why we have to do something on a daily basis. Man shall not live by bread alone. Put this up in the back for me. Matthew 4:4. I read that this morning. I can quote it. But put it from the Passion Translation. It says it so well. You know where Jesus said in the wilderness temptation when Satan tempted, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, we're going to put this up in the Passion Translation. And look what it says in Matthew 4:4. And he answered, the scripture says, bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from God's mouth. So we need to constantly be hearing what comes from God's mouth, because what constantly comes from God's word, every word is true life for us. It produces strength in us. And when it comes to resisting the devil, it means to offer strong resistance or opposition. It means it's a little dab won't do you. Strong means you have something. You're strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Strong in the Lord and the power of His might means you're strong in the Word. And it means you don't give up. You know, just so that we understand, when Satan tempted Jesus there in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, we have the record there. We have four temptations there. Let me tell you something. If the devil tempted Jesus four times in a row, the Son of God, chances are he ain't going to leave with your first rebuke either. Just the thought. Okay? Matter of fact, there's one of the translations said he actually was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. So we have recorded these four of how Jesus dealt with them. And so, and it says when he left him, he left for a more opportune time. So this is not to fear the devil. It just means that we're going to have to offer strong resistance or opposition. Now, I love this because I told Pastor Debbie this. For some reason, I felt like I needed to, even though I know what the word resist means, I gave you all the definitions, I just, right before I came out today, I said, Siri, what does resist mean? You know what the definition came up and said? Listen, this is powerful. It means to remain undamaged or unaffected by. To remain undamaged or unaffected by. When we resist the devil, we end up remaining undamaged or unaffected by the devil. Hallelujah. But that's only going to come by resisting the devil. How we know we have authority. All right? I got two more to do, and we'll finish up today. Number four. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Let's read this. It says, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober here in context means to be spiritually alert and sound-minded. Be clear-minded, attentive to the things of God. Be vigilant, because it also means to be spiritually stalwart. To be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Notice it says, as a roaring lion, seeketh, walketh about. He's going about seeking who he may devour. Now, he may devour the world because the world doesn't have authority over him. But he shouldn't devour us. So we either lose by consent, by being ignorant of what belongs to us and not resisting him, or we lose by consent by doing nothing. Seeking whom he may devour. Believe me, you're going to be put to the test. I'm trying to help us to know how to win. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to make the devil big. I'm trying to let us know how to win over him. Now, verse 9 goes on and says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. One translation says, whom resist steadfast in your faith. See, it's your faith that has to resist him. It's your faith that has to resist him. Knowing the same afflictions or tests and trials are accomplished in your brethren that in the world. In other words, the same temptations that you're going through, the same test and trial, the word affliction there doesn't mean sickness or disease. It means tests and trials. The tests and trials that you and I go through are not subject just to us. The devil works against everyone the same way. But it tells us, resist in our faith, in your faith. Resist firm in your faith. Resist firm in your faith. Steadfast. That's what the word steadfast means. Firm in your faith. Stand against. To actively oppose again. Last but not least, Ephesians number 5. How to understand authority, or understanding how to know we have the authority, is found in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 27. Hallelujah. Notice it says, neither give place to the devil. So in other words, you neither give place to the devil. It's talking to us, address us. Neither give place to the devil. You could put over in your Bible, you could write you in parentheses. That's it means that you got to do something. You don't give place to the devil. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's talk about what that means. Give no place to the devil. The word place there means an opportunity. Don't give him an opportunity. The word means a foothold. And it means, one translation says, don't give the devil a way to defeat you. You know, you can give the devil a way to defeat you. You know, one way you give the devil a way to defeat you is by being ignorant of what God has given us. Because when you don't know what God's given us, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not God's will. And we cry and beg God for help. And God says, you got to do something about that. I gave you the authority. I can't do something about that. I gave it to you. You have to do it. Well, I don't feel strong. It didn't say feel strong in the Lord. It says be strong in the Lord. Let the weak say, I am strong. Until you get your mouth lined up with the word of God, amen, your life won't be lined up with the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you for that one applause in the back. Praise the Lord. Give the devil, amen, no place, no opportunity, no foothold, no way to defeat you. Amen. And so notice, one way that we give place, we either give it by commission or omission. In other words, of commission, we can give the devil place by sinning. If we live contrary to the word of God and live any way we want and just sin anytime we want, we give him the place to the devil. We lose by commission, by what we are committing the sin. Remember, Jesus forgave people, but two different instances when he forgave people, he looked at them and said, go and sin no more, worse or less thing come upon you. He was forgiven. He was merciful, but he also loved them enough to tell them that if you don't stop doing what you were doing, it's going to be worse for you. You got to remember, Jesus didn't forgive you to cause you to live any way you want it to. He forgave you so you could live for Him. He gives you power to live for Him and authority over all the power of the devil. So we give place or opportunity by, number one, the commission of sin, or number two, by omission. What do you mean a sin of omission? The sin of omission that most people, most believers miss it in is not because of some great sin of commission. It's the sin of omission. The sin of not exercising their authority. That's the sin of omission. By not simply exercising your authority. By not saying no to the devil. By not resisting him. Not saying, I bind you, Satan. I bind those evil spirits. I resist you in Jesus' name and speak the word of God. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The thought comes, come on, Brother Ryan, and help me. The thought comes to you and it says in your mind, you're going to die of this because your mama died of it. Your daddy died of it. Your grandmama died. It runs in your family. You got to rise up and say, no, I am a son of God now. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. I am a son of God now. I am a direct descendant of God. I have a new life, a new identity, a new DNA. I am a son of God, and I'm not a son of man. I am now a son of God, and a son of God triumphs over me being a son of man. And now I have the same identical life, and I declare, no, you don't, devil. The promise of God says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. Oh, glory to God. And you got to run him off. You got to run him off. You got to run him off. See, the problem that too many Christians have, they say it one time and then they give up. You got to say it and believe it. And there's times that you may have to say it numbers of times. You address the pain until it leaves. You address it till it leaves. I remember grabbing Pastor Debbie years ago. She had an attack in her body in that kitchen. And she said, love, I need your help. And so I remember, you want to stand? And we show them what we did. Praise God. And so she put her hands on her body where that attack was. And I went by her just like this. And we walked around our kitchen and said, no, you don't, devil. You take your hands off my wife. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. No. Now, see, she has authority. But you know what? That's times husband and wife. One shall chase 1,000. Two shall put 2,000 to flight. She just realized it. She just said, you know what? I want your help right here, right now. I've been resisting. And I said, devil, take your hands off my wife. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just walked around the kitchen in a circle. Amen. I said, devil, take your hands off my wife. Now, body, line up with the word of God. I call you healed. Body, and I spoke to the organs. I said, be healed in Jesus' name. Now, line up with the word of God right now. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. By Jesus' stripes, I call you healed. Body, you listen to me. Organs, you listen to me. By Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Now, pain, go, 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 go. Go in Jesus' name. And we did that for about 10 minutes or so around the kitchen. Hallelujah. And then began to praise God. 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 And it all left. See, sometimes we get so caught up in things. But you know what? We need to add praise to the and make, see, once we resisted the devil, turn your back on the devil and say, no, I know he's gone. He's gone. And so, Lord, I just praise you and I thank you now that I am the healed. I am the redeemed. I have authority and I have victory. I praise you now. I give you glory now. Lord, you're worthy of my praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you thanks, oh God. I give you glory. I give you glory. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Lord, I worship you. I give you praise. I give you glory. Come on, you can get it on to yourself. Come on, you can get it on that. Hallelujah. Why don't we stand to our feet one moment and give him praise and give him thanks today. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise. Exercise your authority closes the door on the devil. We give you glory. We give you glory, Lord. We say by Jesus' stripes we're healed. We say we are who you say we are. We have what you say we have. We can do what you say we can do. Thank you for the authority. Thank you for our victory. Thank you, we are the healed. We laugh at the devil. We say he's defeated. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. We laugh at the devil. Ha 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 ha. We give him praise. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, praise is a language of heaven too. Praise is a mighty weapon against the enemy. Praise is a weapon of your faith. Hallelujah. You can't praise him and thank God. Hallelujah. And stay in doubt. See, you got to shout the doubt out. Praise and be raised. Come on. Come on. I don't know what you're going through, but begin to praise him right now. Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. We are who you say we are. We have what you say we have. We can do what you say we can do. We love you, we love you, we love you. We praise you too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now that didn't hurt you, did it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When's the last time you ran through your house? Hallelujah. See, faith sometimes ain't pretty. But it has an act. Those four crazy friends pulled off the roof in that house where Jesus was preaching at because the crowd was too great. There were some itching ears that day to hear what Jesus said, so much so that those that needed to be touched by him couldn't get to him. But those that believed him said, hey, there's no way that we're going to make a way. And they went up on that roof and they pulled that roof off. And notice, when they let that man down, I bet the homeowner says, I hope I got insurance for this. What in the world is happening to my house? But I can tell you, Jesus didn't rebuke them. Amen. Jesus didn't rebuke them. Jesus probably just took some of the treasure and built the house back, or the roof back. I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. He saw that faith, and those four crazy friends got that crippled man. And notice, this is a word to you right now. Jesus looked at that man and he says, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven thee. Rise up and walk. See, many times people don't receive God's highest and his best because you know what's battled them? The past. Sins that even they have been forgiven for, but it battles them in their mind. It torments them about their past. Jesus wants to wipe that away today. He wants you to know, son, daughter, if your sins are forgiven you, all you have to do is receive that. Receive it. And then he says, and the Pharisees was all, who has the power but God alone to forgive sins? He says, exactly. And so that you know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins on the earth, I say unto thee, rise up and walk. See, forgiveness of our sins and the healing of our diseases go hand to hand. They just need to be received, believed upon. So, Father, I speak this over every heart, every life today, that the things that have once bound people, those things are washed away by the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We put our trust and our faith in the blood of Jesus that is greater, greater, greater than all sin. For you've taken our sins and throwed them behind our back, throw them behind your back, never to remember them anymore, as Isaiah 38:17 says. I say today to thee, be go free and be healed in Jesus' name. Oh God, thank you for working. Thank you for working. Thank you for working. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you honor and we give you praise. Thank you today. Thank you for working in your life. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe you to do what I cannot do. Hallelujah. And what only you can do. Thank you for doing it. Now be seated in here before we go in here today, if you would. Just be seated just one moment. Maybe you're here today and there's never been a time that you made Jesus the Lord of your life. There's no better time than right now. Remember, Jesus died for you. But that does little or no good to you unless you know it and you receive that pardon. So today, I'm inviting you to receive what we talked about. Redemption is provided, and it begins with eternal life. And that life begins with receiving Christ, Jesus Christ, as your Lord. See, I'm not inviting you to join this church. I'm inviting you to become a son of God, to be born again, to be saved, because Jesus said a man must be born again. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. That's exactly why we're here. And I'm going to, through a simple prayer, get powerful prayer, your life will be changed today as you receive Christ. If that's you, I'm going to pray for you in just one moment. I'm inviting you to give him your heart and your life and be changed.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day. And receive.